This is DW News live from Berlin. EU leaders say lifting vaccine patents won't be a magic bullet in the coronavirus pandemic. They've held a second day of talks and are pushing the US for a concrete plan. India's Prime Minister, who's facing a domestic crisis, joined them via video link. Dozens are killed in multiple explosions near a school in the Afghan capital. Most of the victims are female students aged between 11 and 15. Authorities in Kabul warn the death toll is likely to rise. Bayern Munich win their ninth straight Bundesliga title with 2 weeks to spare. The Bavarians celebrated after crushing Gladbach on Saturday evening. And I'm Tomi Oladipo. Welcome to the program. EU leaders have wrapped up a two-day summit dominated by the COVID-19 crisis in India. They agreed to restart trade talks with Delhi, but there were divisions over a US proposal to waive patents on coronavirus vaccines.
Heads of state and government gathered in spring sunshine in the Portuguese city of Porto. Uppermost in everyone's minds, the relentlessly rising death toll in India.
The European Union stands in full solidarity with India at this critical time. We already activated help mechanisms and we are ready to provide further support.
EU leaders agreed to resume negotiations on a free trade deal with India. The talks broke down 8 years ago. Also dominating proceedings, a controversial US proposal to lift patents on COVID-19 vaccines. India strongly supports the idea as a means of opening up new sources of production. But bigger EU states oppose the plan. They want to ramp up their own output instead. I do not believe that giving away patents is the solution to making vaccines available to more people. We need the creativity and innovation of those firms, and that is why I believe in patent protection. Some member states also criticize the US and Britain for stockpiling vaccines. Before liberalizing vaccines, other simpler things should be done, such as removing the export block that the US and the UK continue to maintain. Bear in mind that the EU exports as much vaccine as it gives to its own citizens. As the summit wraps up, Europe is passing the ball back to the US, challenging Washington to come up with concrete plans for waiving vaccine patents and to start exporting much-needed jabs beyond its own borders.
DW Brussels Bureau Chief Alexandra von Naman has been following the summit in Porto and sent us this update.
I think it was very telling that both sides, the European Union and India, praised their summit as a pivotal moment, a moment of geopolitical importance. They showed that they were determined and willing to deepen their partnership and to boost cooperation in many key areas, including climate change, digitalization, and of course trade. The announcement to restart negotiations on a free trade agreement, this announcement was very important for the European Union, of course, because they want to have a better access to the market in India, and they also would like to see tariffs on European products reduce. But we have to add that the trade policy will be the true test over whether both sides are really able to improve their relations. COVID-19 was also on the agenda, no doubt about that, and the European Union made clear that they want to help India. However, they also stressed that they think that India's proposal to lift intellectual property rights on vaccines is not going to be the silver bullet to improve the situation on the ground. They are saying that instead it is very important to increase vaccine production, and they also calling on other nations, Western nations, to export more vaccines.
Alexandra von Naman there. Now, here are some other stories making headlines around the world. Pro-independence parties have won a majority in Scotland's parliamentary election. First Minister and leader of the Scottish National Party, Nicola Sturgeon, says there is no democratic justification whatsoever for London to block a new referendum on Scotland's independence from the UK. Israeli police and Palestinians have clashed for a second night in Jerusalem, a day after violence rocked the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Thousands of Muslim worshippers gathered there on Saturday for the holiest night of Ramadan. Palestinian medics said more than 50 people were injured. At least 40 people have been killed and many more injured in multiple explosions near a school in Kabul. It happened in a largely Shia Muslim neighborhood that has faced attacks by so-called Islamic State in recent years. No group has so far claimed responsibility. Afghanistan's president is blaming the Taliban. It's denied the attack instead, pointing the finger at IS militants.
Just hours before, they were school children preparing for the future. Now their covered bodies lie on a hospital floor. It is a sight that has become all too common in Afghanistan. Multiple blasts went off outside the Syed al-Shakhta school in western Kabul as lessons ended for the day. Many of the children killed would have been on their way home to break the Ramadan fast with their families. I was with my classmate. We were leaving school when suddenly an explosion happened. My classmate was killed. 10 minutes later, another explosion, and then a third one. Everyone was screaming and there was blood everywhere. I couldn't see anything clearly. The attack comes just 8 days after a truck bomb at a university entrance south of Kabul left 27 people dead.
Remnants of China's largest rocket are set to plunge back through the Earth's atmosphere in a mission that's being closely watched by international experts. The rocket carried the core part of China's future space station. The Chinese government says most of the debris will burn up on re-entry and it's very unlikely to smash into the ground. But US experts warn that potentially dangerous debris could escape incineration and it's impossible to pinpoint where it'll land. For more on this, let's talk to Keith Cowing, editor of the space news website NASAWatch.com. Keith, it's good to have you on the program. Now, can you tell us more about this massive chunk of metal plunging back to Earth and how big a concern this is?
Well, right now, the issue with this rocket is, unlike the United States and Russia, when you launch a rocket, you have the ability for it to come back and crash in a very specific location. But this Chinese rocket does not. And so, if I can use my prop here, it's tumbling, and it's difficult to predict exactly when it will come in. And right now, you can see two very professional, accurate guesses. One shows it coming in over the South Pacific, and the other shows it coming over the North Atlantic. We're not going to know probably until an hour or so before the actual impact, and I wouldn't even guess where it's going to come in. That's the issue. You're not knowing where it's going to come in until the last minute.
And is it coming in as one piece, or do we expect it to fragment further?
It's a large aluminum, it weighs 20 metric tons. It's a large aluminum cylinder, and most of it will burn up on reentry, but the large engines at the bottom and some of the internal parts may survive to come in and land. And that's what you might want to be worried about, except most of the ground that it's covering is ocean. So the chances that it's going to hit land or hit anybody are exceptionally small, but not zero.
There have been similar cases where debris crashed back to Earth. Is there anything that can be done were it to crash to Earth or even, you know, wherever it lands to prevent any large-scale damage?
Well, normally I get asked, you know, can you shoot it down? And, you know, the idea is you would, you know, shoot it and you'd have 100 or 1,000 little pieces, all of which are still going to come in and hurt somebody. So the idea is, you know, you would rather not have this happen in the first place, but if you do, having one large item that may break into several smaller pieces is easier to track and prepare for than if you just try and blow it up like you do in the movies.
Is there any regulation on how to mitigate space debris and you know, prevent any further you know, catastrophe or anything that could happen, that could go wrong?
Well, there's progress towards the issue of space debris, which, you know, when you have something like this break up, you get pieces left in orbit and so forth. Some countries are working towards this, standards of practice and behaviors and norms and things like that. But again, when you have something this big coming in, tumbling and so forth, you know, that pretty much states that there was really no effort made to prevent this problem. And that really needs to be addressed.
Okay, Keith Cowan from the space news website, NASAWatch.com. Thank you for giving us that insight.
My pleasure.
To football now, and Bayern Munich are Bundesliga champions for a record 9th time in a row. Their title was confirmed before they had even kicked a ball on Saturday as Dortmund beat second place Leipzig earlier in the day. Now that means Bayern have wrapped things up with 2 games left to play and given a perfect send-off to coach Hansi Flick, who is set to leave the club at the end of the season. And that saw the champions in relaxed mood against Mönchengladbach, which spelled bad news for the visitors, especially with Bayern's lethal striker chasing a record of his own.
In Munich, 9 was the magic number. Bayern's 9th straight title was in the bag before kickoff, while up front, their number 9, Robert Lewandowski, was on a personal quest to break Gerd Müller's record of 40 league goals in a single season. The Polish predator scented blood, and he pounced after just 2 minutes for goal 37 of the campaign. Gladbach still harbour hopes of European football next season. No wonder they were so frustrated when Thomas Müller's weak shot squeezed in. 2-0 Bayern. On 34 minutes, Lewandowski notched up his second, a sumptuous volley for goal number 38. Then the Pole showed his unselfish side to set up Kingsley Coman, and Bayern were 4-up going into the break. Goal 39 arrived for Lewandowski from the spot on 66 minutes, and even Tongi Nyonzu's red card couldn't stem the flow of goals. Though this time it wasn't Lewandowski. Leroy Sané rounded off a humiliating defeat for Gladbach on 86 minutes, before Bayern got the celebrations started. It was as much a farewell to Hansi Flick as it was a championship party. The coach signs off in style, ending his brief stint in charge with a 7th trophy to his name.
Now, there's nothing new about Bayern Munich winning the Bundesliga title, and everyone saw it coming. So here's a look back at how they did it this season.
Coach Hansi Flick was unable to repeat Bayern's prolific trophy haul from last season. And an apparent rift with his superiors likely brought his time at the club to a premature end. But on the pitch, it was business as usual. Bayern demolished Schalke 8-0 in their opening game of the season. Robert Lewandowski proved once again his nose for goals. He's well on his way to set a new Bundesliga goal record. And yet so much about the season was unusual. The coronavirus pandemic meant that most games were played without spectators. Plenty of jostling. And there was nothing normal about Bayern losing 4-1 to Hoffenheim earlier in the season. The champions responded, however, in typical fashion by going 12 games unbeaten. It would be January before their next defeat at Borussia Mönchengladbach. Their form was never quite as imperious as in the first half of the season, but they won when it mattered. A 1-0 victory at Leipzig in early April all but put an end to the hopes of their closest challengers. Even Flick's surprise announcement that he would leave didn't dent his players' winning mentality. And once again, they wrapped things up with games to spare. For Flick, it's Auf Wiedersehen, Bayern. And with the position of national coach soon to be vacant, could it be Guten Tag, Germany?
In motor racing, 7-time world champion Lewis Hamilton claims his 100th career pole position for Sunday's Spanish Grand Prix, the first Formula One driver to do so. Now, the Mercedes ace edged out Red Bull's Max Verstappen. Hamilton leads the Formula One standings by 8 points going into the 4th race of the season. You're watching DW News from Berlin. Sports Life is up next.